probably one of my favorite and most respected young preachers in our movement today. And we are blessed, Indiana, to have him a part of our district and a part of our youth committee. But I wonder if we could put our hands together and welcome Brother Joel Urshan to this pulpit right now. Are you going to preach with him? Come on, Indiana, let's preach with Brother Urshan.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to the name of Jesus. I love what I feel here today. The presence of the Lord is here. I feel Him in the atmosphere. Hallelujah. And the preaching that has taken place last night and this morning has just been superb, young people. And God has been in it. And I was so moved by Brother Mooney's preaching last night. And Brother Keller and Brother Anderson this morning have just absolutely brought us to a place, praise God, where God is going to do something great in our lives. I'm very grateful for the opportunity to be able to address this wonderful holiday youth convention. I think one of the absolute best youth conventions in all of the fellowship of the United Pentecostal Church International. Amen. And that's on an annual basis. I mean, that's not just once every decade. That's on an annual basis. We have a great move of God, great preaching. We have great numbers of people that come to worship together, and I'm glad to be a part of it. I'm so thankful to Brother Jordan and Brother Bowman and to my fellow youth committee members allowing me the great privilege of preaching at this youth convention, and I look forward to it. I'm glad to be able to preach alongside of my friends, Brother Keller and Brother Anderson. Did such a wonderful job this morning. And I would like to ask you to turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 3. I want to give honor to the greatest young people anywhere, in my estimation, from Kokomo, Indiana. I know I've got a lot of debate up here on the platform, but these are wonderful young people from Zion Tabernacle, and we love them very much. And section 2 at large. Amen. Brother Jordan and Brother Bowman back here. Section 2 at large. That's right. All of section 2 is really experiencing revival, and we're happy about what the Lord is doing all over the state of Indiana. Amen. I want God to continue to move in this house. I have the responsibility of preaching to you who we are. And I don't know that I can do that without emphasizing who He is. And so that's what I'm going to do today by the help of the Holy Ghost. From Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. And then I will also read from James chapter 2 and verse 19. Genesis 3 and 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. Notice that. She said, God said that if ye eat of this tree, ye shall die. And the serpent said, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now from the book of James, and the second chapter, and the 19th verse, I want to read this one verse of Scripture in your hearing, and then I want to preach for a little while by the help of God. James 2 and 19, Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Hallelujah. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. And today I want to somehow magnify Jesus, expose the devil, and identify who we are. My topic is this: the devils are trembling. And I'm more persuaded of this after watching the response of young people saying, "I'm going to go back home and be a soul winner." I'm more persuaded than ever that the devils are trembling. Almighty God, we love and adore your holy name. We ask that your anointing would continue to flow in this house. I pray, Jesus, that you would have your way. Cause there to be a miraculous manifestation of your Spirit through the remainder of this convention. God, I ask for a special anointing upon my mind and my tongue. Lord, I ask these things in your holy name. In Jesus' precious and matchless name we pray. And everyone said, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. And amen. God bless you. You may be seated this afternoon in the name of the Lord. I've got good news and I've got bad news. The bad news is I'm taking off my watch. My Sheaves for Christ watch. The good news is I'm going to put it right here and I will be able to see exactly what time it is. Amen. We are looking at, in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, a phase in the scriptures that we are all very familiar with because of the impact that it has had on where we live today and what we do. We are watching, as we read that passage of scripture, Eve approach the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There she was confronted by a serpent who asked her the question, "Can you eat of all of the trees of the garden?" I think the first lesson we learn from this, young people, is that it is not wise to talk to serpents. If a serpent ever tries to strike up a conversation with you, my recommendation is for you to trample that serpent. Is for you to subdue that serpent. And so the first lesson we learn is don't dialogue with serpents. Eve did. And the question posed to her was, can you eat of the trees of the garden? She responded in this fashion. She said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Only the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That is the only fruit we cannot eat of the garden. The devil went on to ask her why that was so. And isn't it like the devil to do just that? To point out the one tree you can't touch. And never mind all of the fruit of the Spirit and gifts of the Spirit and power in the Spirit that God has afforded us. I mean, just you can't go here and you can't go there and you can't wear this and you can't wear that. But forget all the peace and the healing and the power and the deliverance and the love and the liberty and the freedom and the faith. Forget all that stuff and just look at the one thing that you can't do and the one place that you can't go. And that's just the way the devil is. He's the most subtle beast of the field, this serpent is. And so he said to her, can you eat? No, we cannot eat of every fruit. All of it we can except this one fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, why? She said, because God said, in the hour that you eat of this fruit, ye shall surely die. And the devil immediately said, ye shall not surely die. Now I want to point something out to you, young people, and that is this. We know who that serpent in Genesis chapter 3 is. We've been to Sunday school. We know exactly who that serpent is. But allow me to point out the fact that the book of Genesis does not tell us who that serpent was. No, it doesn't. In that passage of scripture in Genesis chapter 3, we do not find out who that serpent was. The entire book of Genesis, on through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We still don't know who the serpent was. We don't know who the serpent was from Joshua to Psalms. We don't find out who the serpent was from Proverbs to Malachi. We don't know who the serpent is from Matthew to Jude. So who's the serpent? We find out in Revelation chapter 12 as John departs.
depicts what he sees in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Glory to God. That there was an encounter in the heavens between Michael the archangel and the angels of God and the devil and his angels. And they threw out that old serpent, which is called the devil. That's how we know who the serpent is. Now, my question to God was this. Why is it that we encounter the serpent 3 chapters into the Bible and we discover his identity 10 chapters before the Bible concludes? And I feel like God answered me in a resounding manner. I believe that God disabled us from understanding the identity of that serpent because he knew our proclivity to put things in a box, Brother Keller, and we would automatically assume that that devil, our adversary, our enemy, the one who hates our soul, would always come in the form of a serpent. When in fact, he is more than capable of appearing to you as a lion seeking whom he may devour. He may decide to come at you like a Goliath in the valley of Elah. He may very well show up like a Delilah wielding a pair of scissors. It may not be a lion, David, in it. It may not always be a bear. It may not always be a Goliath. It might be somebody pretty like Bathsheba. So we've got to understand that the devil can take on many shapes, sizes, forms, and fashions, and his whole goal is to mess you up. He likes to make you think of him in a certain way. He wants you to believe he has venom in his teeth. He wants you to believe in the power of his left paw. He wants you to believe that he'll feed your carcass to the fowl of the air. I've come to let somebody know it's time to expose that adversary for who he is and discover who we are. Yeah,
you know what? I think we should pay more attention to what he says than what he looks like.
Yeah, can you eat of every tree of the garden? No, we cannot eat of every tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is off limits because God said we could die. We shall not surely die. That's your first sign that you're talking to a snake. You're talking to the devil. As soon as he begins to defy the word of God, God said that we would die if we ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then the devil said, "Ye shall not surely die." Notice that he originally said, "Hath God said that ye cannot have every fruit in the trees in the garden?" His original exclamation of this was that he was questioning the word of God. "Hath God said?" And then after she told him what God had said, he usurped the authority of the word of God. I want you to know something, young people. I don't care what they look like. I don't care if they're teaching in your high school. It doesn't matter if they're in your CD case. It doesn't matter if you're reading it in a magazine. I don't care if they're wearing Pentecostal clothes. If they're trying to shed doubt on the word of God, they are under the influence of Beelzebub. You need to recognize it for what it is. Call it out in the name of Jesus and abstain from all appearance of evil.
Yeah.
What is it about us that the devil hates so much? What is it about God that the devil... Why would the devil intrude into a perfect environment? Why would he come in and immediately begin to try to sway Adam and Eve and force them into an uncomfortable state? What is it about us that the devil hates so much? I believe it goes back to the oneness of God. Do you believe that there is one God? Come on, young people, I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that there is one God? Do Do you believe it with every fiber of your soul? Do you believe it with every cognizant passion of your mind? Do you believe that there is one God? But I want to tell you something. You're doing well to believe in one God. The devils believe. Something about this one God message drives the devil out of his mind. It is more than just a doctrinal creed. It is more than something we just use every now and then to excite the crowd. It is more than just trying to force our opinion on somebody else. It is established in the heavens forever and ever. It will be so. I am the Lord God, and there is none beside me. I am alone. There is no Savior on my left or my right hand. My own arm brought me salvation. I want to know, do you believe in one God? I want you to understand that when you say you believe in one God, you're saying more than what you think you're saying. You're driving the devil out of his mind, because there is a depth to the message of one God. There is a height to the message of one God. There is a power in the message of one God. There is an elongation to the message of one God. There is an eternality to the message of one God. Hallelujah. It doesn't stop and start. It's here. It's always been here. It was here before the foundation of the world. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. I am Alpha and Omega. I am beginning and I am ending. I am the first and I am the last. I am the rose and I am the lily. I am the root and I am the branch. I am the good shepherd and I am the lamb. I am the door to the sheepfold and I am the scapegoat. I am the Father and I am the Son. I am the Holy Ghost. One God, one God, one God, one God, one God. What about that makes the devil mad and scared and insecure? What about that drives him to an inferiority about himself? Can I tell you who Jesus is? I have to tell you who he is before I tell you who you are. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. See, when God kicked the devil out of heaven, he did so because the devil was bent on creating a kingdom of his own. I will ascend into the place of God. Thus forcing him out of his omnipotence. Impossible. Impossible. It was an effort in futility. He it was not going to happen. And he was quickly kicked. Folks, when I say kicked, I'm talking about bending the knee and releasing your foot. Kicked. Out of heaven. And he learned once and for all the almighty power of the Lord God Jehovah. He discovered on that day that there is a power beyond my own. There is a glory the likes of which I cannot emulate. There is an omnipotence the likes of which I am well beneath. And when God kicked him out of heaven, it was a major blow to his little ego. And therefore, the devil made up his mind that if he could not establish a kingdom in heaven, he would establish a kingdom on earth. Yeah, that's what I'll do. These people, this man that God made in his image, I will get to his helpmeet. I will get to him. I will throw them off course. I will thwart the plan of God. And I will have a kingdom on earth. I will tempt them to sin and thereby have leverage over them leading them into condemnation, causing them to fear and to doubt the authority of God. And I will have a control over them, and I will hold them in bondage. And so the devil thought, since I can't have authority in heaven, I'll have authority on earth. What he forgot to understand is that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. What he forgot to understand is that my God is rich in houses and lands, and he holds the power of the world in his hand. He wasn't banking on that. He forgot to understand that God has all power in heaven and in earth. That's what he forgot to understand. And so as he began to weave his little web, and as he began to deceive and connive and cheat and lie and so on and so forth, he was baffled by the intrusion of God into his little territory. And that's why the devil's come. Because this is my territory. This is my turf. Don't come into my bubble. These are my slaves. I own them. I tempted them. They bought my package. This is my territory. I own these young people. They believe I have power over them. Stay out of my business. And so it drove him crazy, folks, when an old man started putting nails into wood and started sawing off wood for 120 years. And every mocker the devil sent down the pike couldn't get into the brain of Noah that he would be a failure and unsuccessful. And the devil didn't know what was going on. But Noah, in the middle of an ungodly world, was finding grace in the sight of God. This was a clear intrusion into the devil's plan, into the devil's mission. It drove him batty, if you please. When Abram looked out on the plains of Mamre and saw some gentlemen coming to his tent door, and he just naturally made some cakes, fed them, received of them, and sent them on their way. How did he know they were coming? And how did he know who they were? It drove him crazy when Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek, the prince of Salem. It drove him out of his mind when Abraham saw a ram rustling in a thicket and put it in the stead of his son Isaac and saw the day of Christ. Jesus said that Abraham your father rejoiced to see my day, and before Abraham was, I am. I'm going to tell you that the devils are trembling. Messed up man. Nervous. Erratic. Overreact. Not sure what's going to happen next. See, he didn't know what to do when Jacob was just about ready to lose his mind. And all of a sudden, out of the shadows of eternity jumped a theophany into Jacob's life. And there they struggled and wrestled in the Jabbok River until Jacob would not let go. Jacob perceived destiny hanging in the balance and said, I will not let you go until you give me the blessing that I know you have tucked away somewhere. And the devil thought, I thought he'd lose his mind by now, but he hasn't lost his mind. He knows he's going to get a blessing. Where is this coming from? It about blew his mind when Joseph told Potiphar's wife, without ten commandments and without the power of the Holy Ghost, Joseph said to Potiphar's wife, how can I do this great wickedness before my God? It drove the devil out of his mind when he saw a little boy put in a little ark made of pitch and slime and mortar and bulrushes and sent down on the Nile River. Hallelujah. And Pharaoh's daughter picked him up and brought him into her house. And he was schooled in the way of the Egyptians. But he was feeding off the milk of Israel. And God was raising him up and grooming him. Folks, it scared the devil so bad that he told Pharaoh, why don't you just kill all the babies? I know I'm touching something here. He just said, Pharaoh, just kill all the babies. That way this deliverer that God is going to raise up will never rise up. So just kill all the babies. He did the same thing in Jesus' day. He knew it was time for Jesus to be brought onto the scene. So he said, Herod, just kill all the babies. That way you won't have to worry about the Messiah being born and establishing his kingdom and rule on the earth. And that's what he's doing in 2004 with abortion. Trying to kill all the babies. Hoping to abort this last generation of truth that's going to stand for righteousness, godliness, holiness. It's just a nervous reaction on the poor thing. He's scared out of his mind, don't you know? Glory. And so it really scared him. See, Pharaoh, ladies and gentlemen, didn't always have a speech impediment. He wasn't always a stammerer. Acts chapter 7, Stephen says that he was a man mighty in words and in deeds. So somewhere between leaving Egypt and standing before a burning bush, this man was so assaulted by the devil that he couldn't even talk straight. And he looks up into the face of the great I Am and says, I can't go to... Pharaoh's court. I can't even structure a verbalized sentence. And God said, who made the mouth? Who can make it dumb? Who made the eyes? And who can make them blind? Who made the ears? And can make them deaf? Don't tell me what you can or can't do. You go in there and say, I am absent. You don't have to tell him who I am. Just tell him I am. The devil thought he had Moses kicked in, shipped out, messed up. Thought he had his whole mind messed up, all of his thinking capacities messed up. That's why it blew his mind when Moses and Aaron walked into Pharaoh's court and Moses put that finger in Pharaoh's face and said, I come in the authority of the great I Am, and you let my people go now. The devil said, where did that come from? I thought that man was messed up. I thought I had him emotionally wounded. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. He didn't know what to do with himself. When Moses was confronted with the Red Sea, don't make me go there. Nobody ever seen a Red Sea before. Pharaoh's army in the back, mountains on the left hand and the right. What's he going to do? Where's he going to go? Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of Jehovah. I wonder what the devil felt like when he saw manna floating from the heaven. I wonder what the devil felt like when he saw water coming out of a rock. I wonder if he realized that somebody's intruding into my territory. This is my turf. This is my little kingdom. This is what I've come to establish. This is what I've come to set up. And now this man, I had those people so thirsty and so hungry, they didn't know where to go, what to do. And now bread falls out of heaven. How does bread fall out of heaven? Water comes out of rock. I didn't even know water was in a rock. Jordan River start parting. Walls of Jericho start tumbling. Who's behind this? Who's the mastermind behind this intrusion into my kingdom and into my territory? I wish you could have seen the devil's face when Gideon walked out there with not 32,000 men and not 10,000 men, but 300 men, and grabbed a little
pitcher and a little light in the pitcher and a hammer and broke the pitchers and shouted, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And all of the Midianites ran off into the wilderness. I wish we could have seen the devil's face when David walked out into that valley of Elah and said that I come not to you with a sword and with a spear. How many young people do you know that would have walked out where the elders feared to tread? How many young people do you know that would have walked out where the king was scared of going and say, "I come not to you with a sword and with a spear. But I come against you in the name of the Lord of the hosts of Israel." I wish you could have seen the devil's face when Daniel said, "I'm not shutting up. I'm not backing down. I'm going to open up the window and I'm going to pray louder. One time in the morning, one time in the afternoon, and one time when the sun goes down. Throw me in the lion's den if you please, but I'm not backing down. I'm not giving up." I wish you could have seen the devil's face when Daniel walked up out the lion's den and said, "The angel of the Lord has shut the mouths of the lions." I wish you could have seen the devil's face when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "Throw us in the fire. And if God delivers us, so be it. And if God doesn't deliver us, so be it." And when they threw them in the fire, Nebuchadnezzar said, "Didn't we throw three in the fire? Why then do I see a fourth man in the fire?" And the devil said, whoa, what are you talking about? I got to see this." Nebuchadnezzar said, "And why does he bear a remarkable resemblance to the Son of God?" I wish you could have seen the devil's face when the angel Gabriel walked up into Joseph's room and said, "Joseph, don't you be afraid. That lady you're going to marry is going to have a baby before you're married. And it's not going to be your son. It's going to be that which is conceived of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will overshadow her, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, Emmanuel, Emmanuel," being interpreted, "God." I'm talking about the God that kicked the devil out of heaven, the God that threw him out of heaven. God with us. I wish you could have seen the devil's face when that angel walked into Mary's room and said, "Mary, you're going to have a baby, and you're not going to know a man. You will be the fulfillment of Isaiah 7 and 14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and that son will be that which is conceived of the Holy Ghost, and his name shall be called Jesus." The devil had to stop and think a little while. "Jesus. I know that name. Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus." And every time he'd say it, he'd have like a little spasm. "Jesus. Jesus. Where have I heard that name Jesus before? I'm trying to remember. Did I hear it? Did I hear the name Jesus?" And trembling about it, folks. But he knew that name Jesus. He's not dumb, totally. He's a little bit dumb, but not completely. He knows what Jesus means. Jehovah. Oh, I want to preach to you right now. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my provider. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is present. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Rophi, the Lord is my healer. Jehovah Mekadesh, the Lord is my sanctification. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord is my righteousness. Woo! Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. But Jehovah Elohim, El Shaddai, the same God that thundered on Mount Sinai, the same God that shut lions' mouths, the same God that quenched the fire in the fiery furnace. This God, He's not only my healer, He's not only my provider, He's not only my redemption, He's not only my righteousness, He's not only my sanctification, but He's all these things wrapped up in the one name. And at that name, every knee shall bow. And at that name, every tongue shall confess. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jehovah has become my salvation. And the devil thought, oh my God, in heaven. This is God in heaven. Coming down to earth. He's come to rock my world again. The devil knew that the God who kicked him out of heaven could kick him out of earth. That's why he told Herod, kill that baby. That's why he took him up into the mountain and said, if you be the Son of God. That's why he spoke from a centurion's lips and said, if you be the Son of God, if you be the King of the Jews, come down from that cross. He knew what was getting ready to happen. But you know what? You know the whole idea of Jesus coming into earth, it baffled the devil. Boggled his mind. Caused him to tremble. Because Jesus started having fun with it. He started saying things like, I'll destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it. Amen. He started saying things like, I and my Father. You remember my Father, don't you? You remember the guy. Yeah, him. I and my Father are one. Started playing with the devil's head after that. He said, Philip, have I been so long time with you? And still you do not know me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. It blew the devil's mind when Isaiah said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So Jesus started taking little inside stories. That's what he was doing that day. Don't you forget God's got a sense of humor. The devil, Jesus just liked watching him squirm. He said, all power in heaven. You remember that power in heaven, devil? You remember that? You remember that power in heaven? Must I remind you of the power in heaven? All power in heaven. And in earth, I've got it. That's right. Don't you stop trembling, devil. Keep on squirming. But you know what really messed the devil up? Was when Jesus started saying things like, I am with you. But I shall be in you. That's why the devil hates baptism in Jesus' name. Let's quote Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Do you know what the Holy Ghost is? It's the Spirit of the Father that lives in me. God gave me the power that He used to kick the devil out of heaven. It lives in me. So who are we? Those seven sons of Sceva walked up to that, those devil-possessed folks, and started trying to cast out devils. Now listen, young people, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall speak with new tongues, and they shall cast out devils. They said, who do you think you are? Actually, they said, who are you? And they said, I adjure you by Jesus, whom Brother Mooney preacheth. I adjure you by Jesus, whom Brother Jordan preacheth. I adjure you by Jesus, whom Brother Stroud preacheth. They didn't have any personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Just to make a long story short, they ended up leaving wounded and naked. Fleeing, the Bible said. They got whooped. I wish those devils would have asked some of us that same question. Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? That's when you step up to the home plate and say, I'm glad you asked, buddy. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. I am a one God apostolic tongue talking holy rolling born again heaven believer in the liberating power of Jesus name. I'm glad you asked who I am. I'm baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, and I've got power to kick you out. Come on, somebody. It's time to kick the devil out of your mind. It's time to kick the devil out of your school. It's time to kick the devil out of your youth group. It's time to kick the devil out of your prayer life. Don't you be condemned anymore. Don't you be scared anymore. Don't you be afraid anymore. Don't you be doubtful anymore. You need to know who you are. I am filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit that has power over the adversary. You feel that inside of you? Every time you say, Jesus, devils begin to tremble. He's scared you're fixing to find out who you are. Come on, say it with me. Say, Jesus. Say it again. Say, Jesus. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Jesus. The righteous run their rhythm. They are safe. Jesus. I'm trusting chariots. Jesus. I'm trusting horses. And we will remember the name of the Lord. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. We need to say the name. We need to believe the name. We are healed in the name. We are baptized in the name. We walk and talk in the name. We live and move in the name. We breathe and have our being in the name. Thank you. I want some one God young people that believe Jesus Christ came into this world, died on an old rugged cross, gained victory over death, hell, and the grave, came up out the grave victorious, and gave us the keys to the kingdom. And gave you the same power that He exercised over the devil in the beginning. I want those kinds of young people. To come on down. That's it. Come on down. Come on, if you believe in one God. If you practice one God. If you live one God. You believe you have the Spirit of the Father in you? Do you believe that you have the Spirit of the Almighty, Omnipotent Creator of the universe in you? Who are you? You are the light of the world. Who are you? You are the salt of the earth. Who are you? You are empowered with the promise of the Holy Ghost. Don't you be afraid to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Don't you be afraid to open up your mouth and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Over our adversary. Let's take dominion over our adversary. Some of you are battling incomplete commitments. Some of you are battling an inconsistency in living and walking with God. Some of you are battling fear, lust, pride, jealousy. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got the power to kick those things.